And now, the Bill Henry Show. That was me pretending I was Ross Mitchell, which I've done many, many, many nights. And Ross is a good man, and I know that Ross is a close personal friend. And so when we start back in with our Art Bell bits, he's going to be okay with that. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Some very bizarre news today. One of the pieces of news that came before us was this story about the current leader of North Korea, Kim Jong-un, who had his ex-girlfriend, a famous singer in North Korea, machine-gunned. This is how they operate their firing squads in North Korea. I don't know. Firing squads are a little bit of a thing of the past. I think that there are a couple of states here in the United States that actually still have the firing squad. Well, maybe not as a form of capital punishment. Utah used to, but I digress. He had his ex-girlfriend put to death by firing squad, along with 11 other popular performers in North Korea. Can you imagine this? And the crime was performing in and promoting pornography. She was in some pornographic tapes alleged by the North Korean government. Some of these made it across the border into China. I don't know if that was the problem, that the fact they got out of North Korea and somehow found an international market, and that's okay. Now you're that's a death penalty. But nonetheless, it was very, very it was disturbing. I mean, it truly was. And I try to apply that here to the United States. Vernon Dozier is with us. Vernon, I know that you've been married three times, and we're on to talk about the minimum wage, but you said you did want to weigh in on this.
Well, I do, Phil, and the reason I want to weigh in on it is because you're right. I was married to a beautiful woman, Susan, who passed on because of cancer 7 years ago.
Yeah, my continued sympathies for that.
I appreciate it. I married very briefly. It was a rebound situation with another woman, and then I finally, settled here on Clarice. But the other gal, who I'm constrained against mentioning, was on a news program. I know I saw her on a television show recently.
Well, you say news program. Wasn't it Investigation Discovery?
It was. It was Investigation Discovery. It was not a news show. I guess it was one of these documentaries.
Right.
And it was a documentary about a woman who was selling photographs of herself engaged in absolutely depraved behavior, and it was my ex-wife. Now, she knows that she was married to me, so that if she's got herself up on television...
Which she didn't put herself there. The story revolved around her selling these pictures, right?
That is true, but again, we have civil action now in this country, Phil, and if there are lawyers listening, I know they'll back me up on this. We have civil action in this country now where you can sue for the wrongful death of a person. You can sue for injury. And I believe that you should be allowed to sue for a defamation of your character due to association with an individual like my second wife, who, again, I'm letting your audience know I cannot mention her. My attorney's advised not to mention her.
Okay.
Selling photographs, online of herself involved in depraved behavior.
Can you tell us what that is?
I can tell you that it involved some very, very depraved actions with animals.
Good Lord.
Yeah, and I'm not going to go any further, but I've had more people come up to me and say, didn't I see so-and-so, your ex, on television? And they were talking about these French postcards. And I said, what do you mean by French postcard? They said, well...
That's an old term. That's an antiquated term. It means sort of sexual... portraits and pictures, right?
That is correct, yeah. And they said that she was involved in some French postcards with her and, they said animals. I couldn't believe it. I was absolutely... And there's a certain part of me that could believe it, and that's where I got in trouble with her attorney. I said, it doesn't surprise me. And he said, well, then why should you sue? I said, it's a figure of speech there, counselor, but nonetheless...
When you were married to her, was this kind of behavior something that you were suspecting?
I didn't suspect that she was out selling postcards. I didn't suspect that at all, Phil.
Is she actually selling postcards?
Well, I was told French postcards. And
well, what does that mean, French? I know what the old term of French postcard.
Well, the French postcards are things that are sold not online. They're not sold in stores. They're literally sold out on the street. In other words, you peddlers, people, if you walk through Times Square in New York, if you walk any busy tourist street in any major city in America, there's always people that are selling things. There's people that are painting pictures of you, people that are... You told me that you and your family had your portraits done on the corner there in New York, correct?
Yeah, that's true.
All right, so there's always people that are selling something. And these French postcards of Bayek with a... there was a kennel club involved that I think has been since shut down, and they're going to be part of this lawsuit.
A kennel club for dogs.
That is correct, yeah. So, and that's my name, Dozier, and she was using her married name when she was selling French postcards, associating herself with a major kennel club, and here she is with no clothes on, and this is so I said to my attorney that, can you not sue for damages when it comes to your reputation? So absolutely, and so that's what we're going to do.
All right, so you're going to file a civil action not unlike the kinds that are filed by people who have suffered grievous bodily injury. This is a civil action. It's not a criminal action. It's party to party.
That is correct.
And it will be, or not unlike what people file when there is wrongful death, this will be, by association, she is defaming you.
Using my name, yeah. And
well, now, you've just used your last name here.
I understand that, Phil, but it doesn't matter. She's, you know, my attorney said not to use her first name. Well, he might have meant not to use her last name, and I haven't used her last name.
But you used your last name, and she's using that, right?
Well, she's using it on these postcards, yeah. I guess you would have to be, I think you've got to look and see. I don't know. My attorney said don't use her last name.
All right, well, her last name is your name, and I don't want to bring this to a major bummer here.
Well, I guess I got caught unawares there. I would say that, you know, come what may, then I guess.
Yeah, I mean, if she finds that to be, look, she's using your name. You're not supposed. Your attorney has advised you not to use her name.
Yeah, I can't use her name, but she's out there selling French postcards, or whoever she's got selling these French postcards. You know, you usually hire a few people from the neighborhood. You give them a couple of bucks and tell them to go out and wave them as tourists go by.
Yeah, I wouldn't know how to do. I can certainly understand the peddling of different kinds of trinkets and touristy things and souvenirs, and as you said, the sketching of portraits. You see that all the time everywhere you go. The selling of pornographic materials and in New York City, which has been really has cracked down on all that kind of behavior, seems gutsy. And I'm not surprised she got arrested.
Well, this involved more, though. This involved four kennel clubs in the eastern part of the United States, the remnants of a circus.
What exactly? We're talking about animal cruelty, huh?
Well, yes, and I made a joke, and I shouldn't have, when Bill Doudell had called me, and he said, you know, what's going on with your ex? I said, yeah. He says, it's animal cruelty. I said, yeah, you can say it. You can say that again. I'll bet it's animal cruelty, you know, if you... You just, and he didn't think that was funny, and in retrospect, I didn't think it was funny. But I think of my ex and what she was, and her in French postcards with what's left of a zoo.
A zoo?
I'm sorry, a circus. It doesn't surprise me at all that there was cruelty to those animals.
All right, we're talking with Vernon Dozier. We're going to be back. We're actually going to talk about minimum wage here, right, Margaret?
Well, yes. He wanted to talk. I have to tell you, this conversation, unless it's leading somewhere, is really sickening me. But yes, he did want to talk about the minimum wage because that's how he has spent this summer as a teacher, and I think it's very important.
All right, we're going to talk with Vernon Dozier here when we come back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show about the minimum wage, which, yes, there's a lot of teachers that have to take second jobs, third jobs, what have you, fourth jobs, I don't know. And there's a lot of them that do that because they have to make ends meet. And we're going to talk with Vernon about this new minimum wage that is being proposed. Or not new minimum wage. It's the same old minimum wage, $15 an hour. The fast food workers of America in various cities went on strike and went out and protested in favor of that $15 an hour wage. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show at 855-500-7445. the world-famous Phil Henry Show at 855-500-7445. Vernon Dozier joins us. He is a high school teacher in Southern California, and not unlike a lot of high school teachers elsewhere in the country, had spent a good part of this summer working a second job because the job, well, because the money just isn't there right now. And you've taught for a long time at Belmar Academy, correct, Vernon?
I have, Phil. I've taught since 1987 when Belmar Academy at that time was only about 3 years old.
That's a long time. And you've been coaching football?
Yeah, I coach the varsity football team.
And you've been successful with that?
Oh, very successful. Very, very grateful for the good success we've had with the varsity there. But still, you know, it is a private school and a private. It is a private school, Phil, and as such is one that is is run by a Catholic diocese of Los Angeles. They are, you know, I'm Catholic. I am now. I converted to Catholicism when I got this job. And, of course, it's a private school, so I thought that I would have an opportunity to make a kind of a wage, I think, that would be, you know, befitting a guy like myself who is teaching high school history, teaching social sciences. I'm coaching the varsity football team. I'm helping out administration, helping out with some of the parent-teacher duties and some of those things. And instead, what's happened is we've had to scale back. I haven't taken a pay cut, but I certainly have had to scale back. And the school knows this. You know, they know that they pay you a certain amount of money, and you begin to you know, anticipate that the raise will come because you earned it. So I had to sell a boat, not a big boat, but I had to sell a boat. I had to sell a home. Which was up here at the Solana Beach, and so it's tough.
And now you're working, or not now, but you were this summer at a fast food restaurant.
I was. I had talked to you once before. I'd worked at Subway, and I was working at McDonald's this summer, and it's quite a humiliating. And there's nothing wrong with McDonald's. I want you to know McDonald's is a fine organization as far as it goes, but I'm a teacher. And for me to come on a radio program and talk about how, you know, okay it was to work at McDonald's, it hurts.
All right, I got a phone call here from a Jimmy Burdock.
Okay.
Do you know him?
Yeah, I do.
And is he the brother of your ex-wife?
He is.
All right, he called up because he wanted to talk to you about...
I can't. I'm constrained from talking about certain things. I mean, Jimmy wants to come on here and talk with me about the issue with his sister. He can do that, but again, I cannot talk about what her name is. Or anything like that, if you understand that.
All right. Well, now we have her maiden name. Now we have her. So all what we don't have is her first name. You know.
All right. Well, that's fine. I mean, that's on Jimmy. If he wants to come on and he wants to give his name, his sister is going to be the one that's going to be.
All right, Jimmy, you there?
Hey, Vernon, how are you?
Yeah, I'm great, Jimmy. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing really good. And greetings from the Burdock side of the family.
Well, I'm not a member of your family anymore.
Well, that's right. I know you're not, but I understand you want to sue my sister.
Yes, I am going to sue her, Jimmy.
Well, you know that she loved you very much, and that when she did, you know, eventually did see you with that teenage girl, it shocked her.
Yeah, and that teenage girl was 18 years of age.
Okay, Vernon, whatever you say.
No, it's not whatever I say. She was 18 years of age. Otherwise, I would have been arrested by now, don't you think?
Well, I don't know. I don't know who you know down there in California. But I want to tell you something, Vernon. Whatever Karen had to do...
Now, you just given her first name. So what we have here, Phil...
Hey, nobody told me anything. You got a lawyer telling you things. That's fine. You do what your lawyer tells you to do. I do what my lawyer tells me to do.
All right, but gentlemen, can I jump in here?
Let me
jump in, Mr. Burdock.
Yes, sir.
Let's avoid at possibility the mentioning of names. I don't know what it is that lawyers tell each other or what you guys have been told by your attorneys. Let's just not use her name, okay?
Well, I'm okay with that, but I'm just, you know, for informational reasons.
I was told by my attorney not to mention names, and here comes her brother. You know, Jimmy, you're just the same guy. And
you know what? You're the same guy, too. You know, you don't have no respect for anyone. You don't have no...
I've got plenty of respect for people... Look, your sister's the one that was photographed And your sister's the one that had dealings with some of the people at the Bernoble Circus and some of the people there at the Western Pennsylvania Zoo, which I will not mention that one.
I know the zoo very well. I've gone there to relax.
Well, great. I'm glad you've gone there to relax because your sister had business dealings with a zoo, a circus, and three kennels. And all of this having to do with filth. Absolute filth.
Whatever my sister did, she had to do because of the desperate situation. I want to say a statement, Mr. Henry, if I could.
There was no, I will not allow him to say that. There was no desperate situation I left her in. No desperate situation at all. I'm fully employed. She got spousal support, according to the court.
Yeah, well, spousal support for 6 months and you stopped paying. Is that not correct?
I was paying it.
And you did stop. Is that not correct?
You know.
Look, guys, I have to interrupt. Where is this going to go here? I've got him on talking about minimum wage, Mr. Burdock, and not about this issue with your sister.
Well, I think that I will say this, then. I'm going to hang up the phone. I am very much in favor of a minimum wage because it's going to get this former brother-in-law of mine to begin to become a man and pay what the court and the state orders.
I'm all the man you're ever going to need.
Well, okay. Well, thank you. I mean, that sounds very generous of you, but I like women.
You know something?
All right. We'll just go ahead and keep Vernon on the line here. That was your former brother-in-law, huh?
And some things never change. Some things never change. And you can tell by the man's manner, you can tell by the accent that they're Easterners, and you can also tell by the accent and his command of the English language, they're not only Easterners, but they come from a population pool of Easterners that find it easier to hijack trucks.
All right, let's stop right here, okay?
Hold
on, let's just stop and let's not even go there. Let's just stop and let's talk about the minimum wage at McDonald's.
Well, he made a comment there, Phil, that I'd like to address.
Regarding what?
Regarding the fact that he hopes the minimum wage is increased so I can man up. I paid that woman the spousal support she was entitled to for 6 months. I was supposed to pay it for 7 years. There's a dispute because when I saw her making the kind of money she was making on my name as she's selling French postcards, and there are three kennel clubs.
All right, I don't think that is an income that one can necessarily claim as legitimate. As a matter of fact, it's illegal. I think you have to claim even illegally gotten gains on your income tax, but obviously she didn't. So that's not going to be anything, I think, recognized by the government, do you think?
I don't know, Mr. Henry. All I know is that I was told that I owed spouse. She's making a very good living. All right, you don't want to see three.
I got three kennel clubs and a zoo.
Three kennel clubs?
Hold on for a minute. What are you doing?
He's keeping track of what...
You don't have to keep track.
Well, three kennel club and a zoo and not a zoo, a circus. Yeah, it's a three kennel club, a circus.
And a zoo.
All right, are we all done keeping track of that? Because we don't want to talk about that anymore.
You're telling me that I don't get to talk about that?
No, I want you to talk about if it has something to do with the minimum wage.
Well, it does, Phil, and
all right, so let's shift now. We're talking about minimum wage, and to that extent, or to that effect, I would like to take a moment just to get my audience up to speed, because we've got a couple of stories on this. There were a number of protests across the country today by fast food workers who are interested in seeing that minimum wage elevated to the level of $15 per hour. Workers backed by the SEIU rally in an estimated 60 cities calling for union representation and a wage of $15 an hour. So they want workers to be unionized, fast food workers to be... I have to be honest with you, I'm surprised that they're not. But Thursday night, there was a big, big effort, 60 protests outside 1,000 stores. All right, we're going to get back to that and talk about that and more with Vernon Dozier, who is one of the fast food workers that's interested in the, as I say, in this new $15 an hour minimum wage. Now, the interesting thing is he's also a high school teacher, a guy who he says, you know, he needs the money. And to the extent that he needs that money, he's out protesting, looking for that increase in funds. I don't want to talk, I don't want to talk any more about the sister and the zoo, and I don't want anybody keeping track, okay?
Well, Phil, here's...
Yeah, right here.
Give me that, will you?
That's mine, not yours. Give me...
What do you got?
I've got a report. I've got three zoos here.
Do I have a kennel club?
Three kennel clubs.
What are you interested in that for?
Because I'm interested in it. There. Enough said.
Good for you. All right, so anyway, we will be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and I'm losing track of things here, bud, because of you and that kennel club and that zoo and...
No, that's her kennel club. She's got a vested interest in it, too.
So she has ownership.
Yeah.
All right, the world-famous... You better get on the phone. Is Vernon know this, that his wife not only was performing with them? It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. And turn that stupid Sammy Hagar off. World famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this thing. And we got Vernon Dozier with us, who is a teacher, a high school teacher from Glendale, California. All right, so what we're talking about here is the minimum wage. And as I mentioned, Vernon, the story here, it's an interesting story. $15 an hour demanded by fast food workers who are not unionized. Organizers of the effort bankrolled largely by the SEIU union and promoted by a slew of community groups and community organizers said it was the largest protest ever to hit the fast food industry. So, were you out there?
Well, I mean, I was, you know, I was working because we're back in school now, but I certainly was watching the results. I'm still working part-time at the McDonald's here in Southern Glendale, but I will be quitting that job very, very shortly as the school year gets amped up to 100%.
So do you? But what I'm saying is, do you support this strike?
Well, it's difficult for me. On the one hand, I'd like to see the fast food money get elevated. On the other hand, I don't really like unions. But then on the other hand, you just heard my ex-wife's brother, who is not the brightest bulb on the tree, I'll give you that much, and that guy makes a lot of money. I don't know how he makes his money. I'm not going to intimate anything. He certainly makes more money than me, and he's calling up a talk show that I'm on, and I'm here to talk about minimum wage, and he's talking about his sister, who has been, was arrested and featured on one of these TV shows, selling French postcards with her, you know, on them, doing things with animals that had been, up to that point, performing in a circus. Now, do you understand, Mr. Henry?
All right, are we getting back to that, though? See, I wanted to kind of move away from that.
Well, no, but it's all involved, because if I don't address her and her circus animals, then I have to find a way to continue to pay the spousal support that I owe her, and that means another 3 or 4 years at McDonald's. I don't have anything against McDonald's. I think it's a fine organization. And when I tell you that I despise working there, it isn't because I don't like McDonald's. It's that I'm a high school teacher, and I've got to sweat, and I've got to, I have to put out 150% for people that are one quarter my age. Maybe they're elderly. They're coming in from the beach. I have to step and fetch it, excuse my use of the word, for teenage kids and, you know, young ladies who are doing their nails, and I'm grunting and sweating and grinding and putting out everything I've got just so that they can get their, you know, malt.
I understand that this is an affront to your pride.
You better believe it.
I understand that, and I'm sorry for that. And you know, I there was a time in my life when I would probably be even more outraged, but I do know one thing. This is a country that we live in right now, Vernon, which is, you know, I mean, we got to be a little bit more realistic about it. What else is going on out in the world is a hell of a lot worse.
What I don't understand, what's that supposed to mean?
What it means is that the reality of the world is a lot worse than anything that we've got going here in America.
Are you telling me I'm supposed to sit still I got to sit still for a fast food job? While my wife is out there raking it in with French postcards, and her brother, God knows what he does, I'll tell you this much, he spends an awful lot of time down dockside. You understand what I'm saying there, don't you?
No, I don't, and I don't want you to continue to say things that may expose this program or yourself to any kind of slander or libel suit, okay? I mean, if you think the guy is criminal in his enterprise or in his jobs, you may want to address that to the district attorney, not on this program. Well, you know what I'm saying?
No, I don't know what you're saying. You're telling me that I have to grunt and grind?
No, Vernon...
No, hold on. You're telling me that I gotta grunt and grind and sweat to create an acceptable-looking banana split or ice cream sundae for a 14-year-old girl. And I can tell you, Mr. Andrew, that I have put my heart and my soul into this fast food job so I don't lose it, because there's a million grandmothers out there that are breathing down your neck. I don't know if you know what's going on in the fast food business, but I'm a teacher. I need this extra income. There's a million grandmothers that are bored. There's a million grandfathers that are bored to tears. Uncles, all these retired people, and they're breathing down my neck, and they want that job. So I've got to do what I've got to do to hold on to it. And if that means that I've got to create some kind of an amazing ice cream sundae, you know.
All right, so you're having to really work hard.
Isn't that what we do with our jobs, Vernon?
What is that?
Isn't that what we do in our jobs? We do the very best we can.
Yeah, but I never thought that my life would come to, dear God, don't let me screw up this sundae, because if I do, there's an old lady breathing down my neck.
What do you mean by that? I don't understand an old lady.
You're talking about the old lady take the job.
Yes, I'm talking about the...
Hold on for a minute. Shut up, bud.
Sorry.
I'm talking about an old lady breathing down my neck waiting to take my job. And I got a 14-year-old girl who is bored to tears, doesn't care whether I live or die. All she wants is that ice cream sundae. And I am sculpting it with the love and care that Rodin didn't put into the guy that leans over and with his hand on his chin.
The thinker?
Who's that?
The sculpture, the thinker.
Why are you getting upset?
You're a teacher. You ought to know the name of the sculpture.
Well, Phil, it doesn't matter. This is talk radio. Most people don't even know who Rodin is. They think Rodin is a monster.
Well, that's who it is, right?
No, Rodin was a sculptor. Rodin, R-O-D-A-N, the Japanese Rodin was a giant monster. Rodin was a sculptor, and he made something called the thinker. Okay?
Yeah, it's a nude guy that's thinking.
Yeah, right. It's a nude guy that's thinking. Anyway.
Well, look, man, I don't know what the name of the thing is. You're the guy making a banana split.
I have to make a banana split. I don't think your audience understands me, and I certainly don't want to start taking crap from your staff. Excuse me for saying.
We're not giving you crap. We're asking questions that we're entitled to ask.
All right, hold on for a minute. Yay! Woo! Good job. Man, that's fantastic.
All right, all of the sarcasm is not necessary, Vernon. Not necessary as we try to get to the bottom here of... I don't want to talk anymore about your ex-wife and the legal action, and the fact that you saw her on Investigation Discovery, French postcards, a zoo, kennels. I don't know, man. Okay?
Did you not just put her brother on the air?
Yes, I did, because I was giving you the courtesy of addressing the problem.
So I see it's my problem. Is that it? I'm the guy that started it?
No, Vernon. Phil was being polite and letting you address the problem with the brother who had called in. Now, I don't think you acquitted yourself that poorly. I think the brother sounded like a lummox. He sounded like a meathead. But I think when you start talking about sweating it out to make the perfect banana split for a 14-year-old, you're really running the risk there of some... It gets pornographic. Now...
Wait. What are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
You don't know what I'm talking... He's talking about a banana split.
You know something, Margaret? You got to clean up your mind.
Lady, I have to second that.
I'm a mother. I'm the mother of a 15-year-old boy.
We're talking here about the man... Never mind. Vernon Dozier.
Vernon Dozier?
My name is Dozier, not Jozier.
I understand that. Vernon Dozier with us here on the Phil Hendry Show discussing his job at McDonald's. $15 an hour. Okay, you don't like unions. What would you rather have? Would you rather keep the same amount of money you're making now, or would you rather join a union and allow the union to negotiate on your behalf and to begin this process of collective bargaining on the part of fast food workers?
Well, I mean, it's one of those things I tell my students. Here's my opinion. You can form any opinion you want. My opinion is the opinion of the teacher. Your opinion is your opinion, and that doesn't, when you get down to whose opinion is more important, Is it mine or is it yours? I'm a teacher, you're a student, so whose opinion do you think matters more? So as I sit here and I'm talking to you, and I hear the logic that you use, Phil, and it's pretty good logic, but I'm still the teacher and you're a talk show host. I'm not putting you down for what you do, but I'm telling you that if I have to go down the slippery slope of union membership, this is, I'm going to blame on the fast food and the economy. I'm wearing the uniform of Ronald McDonald. I'm wearing basically a clown outfit. And I, as I said, I'm being forced to humiliate myself, lower myself to the level of caring about how I sculpt and shape an ice cream sundae.
I've never heard of such a thing. What are you talking about? Are you talking about how it's presented?
Yeah, the way they present on a tray may look good.
That's right, because a lot of people had complained that when they look at the picture of the ice cream sundae and the one they get, they don't look the same. Okay. So I take the extra care, figuring it'll keep an old lady from breathing down my neck one more day. I try to make it look like the picture.
All right, that's really good. I don't find any fault with that.
That is, yes, that's taking extra care and concern for your job. I think it's wonderful.
Well, do you think that keeps the old lady from breathing on me? No, because I just saw another three of them today, and I went in there to get my extra pay, and I want to come in on the weekend and maybe get some extra money. And I saw three more of these old ladies coming in, looking at me, winking at me. And breathe on their mirrors. So this is a game, Phil, that...
I don't understand breathing on the mirror.
Breathing down his neck.
Yeah, they're breathing on the mirror, and then they're holding it up to show the fogged-up mirror. This is what we're talking about. And it's only getting worse. And it's going to get worse before it gets better. And meanwhile, I got to be the greatest that has ever lived in the history of this country at making a banana split or an ice cream sundae that looks exactly like the one.
All right, we have to take a break. I'm sorry. We'll be right back with Vernon Dozier. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, as he continues discussing here tonight on our program the minimum wage for fast food workers, $15 an hour. Are they going to get it? Are they not going to get it? Is it going to be more? Is it going to be less? And will Vernon Dozier ever get himself out of that fast food gig and begin to pay back the spousal support that he owes his wife and stop sculpting banana splits and ice cream sundaes for 14-year-olds that don't care whether he lives or dies while old ladies breathe down his neck?
What did you say?
Never mind. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 855-500-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the East Coast, 10 a.m. here on the West, 10 p.m. here on the West Coast, and with us is Vernon Dozier. We also heard from this brother, Burdock. Is that the guy's name?
Yeah, Jimmy Burdock.
This guy has called back. I don't know what you want to do with this.
I'm telling you that we should hear from him and hear what he has to say. This is something that is very real. It's very dramatic.
Okay, Vernon, did you hear what I was just saying?
Yeah, I heard that Jimmy's called back. I'll talk to him, you know. What does he want to talk about?
Well, he feels that this he wants to get in on the discussion of minimum wage and what it means to his sister's alimony, now that we know what her name is.
You know what? Jimmy is a good guy, but the day hasn't been created yet that Jimmy's brain is anywhere near the match of mine. The day has not been created. The week has not been created. So have at it. It's fine with me.
All right. Our number is 855... 500-7445, 855-500-7445. And a reminder that we're online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And with a backstage pass, it gives you access to thousands of hours of our archived material. Jimmy, are you there?
Hey, Vernon, yeah. Listen, I heard what you are saying. I think that you are entitled to your opinion when you talk about, and you made a reference to me being mobbed up. Did I hear you say that?
No, you didn't hear me say that, Jimmy. No.
Yeah, I thought I heard that.
No, the host of the show said, the host of the show was asking about that. I didn't say that. And so you got to get the wax cleared out of your ears, okay, Jimmy? And it's no wonder your sister is in the trouble that she's in with the French postcards.
You know, first of all, there's no... will you say a French postcard?
Look, I saw the whole thing on Investigation Discovery.
What is Investigation Discovery? Is that a police department?
No, no, the police department already did their work. Investigation Discovery... It's a TV channel.
Oh, it's a TV program, huh?
It's a TV channel that covers real criminal events.
Well, I don't put no stock in that.
No, you wouldn't, Jimmy. Would you put stock in the possibility that, you know, you could go to jail?
I'm not going to go to jail. You're the guy that's going to go to jail because you have not paid a spousal support.
Hey, look, are you interested in the spousal support because you're still trying to get that baseball card trading store going? Is that it?
I'm interested in justice for my sister.
Yeah, Phil, you and the audience should know. Jimmy's still trying to get some baseball card trading store going. Where is that? In some upstate New York crap can town.
It's speculated. It's up in the Adirondack. Oh, it's a crap can, huh? It's a beautiful town, and this would have baseball cards and different memorabilia.
I don't care. No one else does. No one else does, all right?
There's a lot of people want to have to... all I'm going to say here...
No one cares about your Pete Rose cards. No one cares about your anything that you've got, no one cares about, okay? And I don't care about you. If you think you're going to get a piece of the money that I owe your sister, you must be high on a mixture of chemicals.
Hey, I'm only standing up for my sister, who had to put up with years of abuse with you, and the fact that you did not pay
spousal support.
Yeah, of the spousal support.
Spousal support.
I said as a spousal support. You know, you can be very intimidating.
Intimidating.
You can be, you think you're, you know.
Are you going to cry? See, this is where he usually cries.
No, I'm not crying. What are you doing?
Get this guy out of here, okay? He's giving me the creeps. This guy's your brother-in-law? You got to be kidding.
That guy is the biggest baby. And I don't know why he's crying, because if anybody ought to cry, if anyone ought to weep tears, it's me. I'm the guy that's got to sit and sculpt ice cream sundaes.
I understand, and you're doing the very best job you can. But I want to know, this guy is sticking up for sister. Why? Because he thinks he's going to get a piece of your money?
He thinks he's going to get a piece of my money. That's exactly right. He thinks he's going to get a piece of my money, and it isn't going to happen. It isn't going
to
happen.
All right, let's get Harvey Wyman on the line. He's our legal analyst on the Phil Hendry Show to talk about this case. I think Harvey is familiar with it, and I think you also have had some dealings with Mr. Wyman in other areas. Harvey, how are you doing tonight? Thanks for joining the program.
Well, I wanted to tell the gentleman on the phone, Vernon, you remember me, don't you?
I remember you.
All right. Do you remember having to make an ice cream sundae about 3 weeks ago? And I specifically asked for nuts. I said I want nuts, nuts, and more nuts. Do you remember the order?
Yeah, I do remember the order. Was that you?
Yes, it was. It was me. And I went in there because I have taken at least part of the pro bono of this case, because I believe in the rights of women and women having to be forced into menial jobs.
And what about the menial job that I've been forced into, working at McDonald's, making ice cream? I guess I made an ice cream sundae for you, huh?
Yeah, and the one you made was not very good.
Well, you know, I don't know what kind of pervert it takes to order, nuts, nuts, and more nuts.
Well, that's what my point was. I wanted to come in and see your reaction when I ordered, heavy on the nuts. And it was exactly what I thought. You got frustrated. I saw you take this spoon with the ice cream in it, and you threw it against a wall just as soon as you got the order.
All right, now, where do you get off going in and harassing a guy?
Right there. That is exactly my point, Phil. That's a very good point. I didn't harass him. I did not. All I said was I wanted an ice cream sundae with heavy on the nuts, and he was the guy that threw the spoon. That proves that he has he's unhinged mentally, and that there's an issue with him and the whole Kennel Club. And see, because I don't think that his ex-wife was doing the things that he thinks.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm trying to follow you here, Harvey, but it's getting harder and harder as you begin to pass out.
What do you mean pass out?
As you're moving away from the phone.
All right, let me ask a question here. This is Phil Hendry. Harvey, you went in there and you ordered an ice cream sundae heavy on the nuts.
That's exactly right, because I wanted to see the reaction, because I'd been told by his ex that he had a psychosexual reflex that was off the charts.
What does that mean?
Yeah, what does psychosexual mean?
It means that any time anyone brings up anything that can be construed as sexual, but in point of fact, for instance, if I said, look at that broom handle, to you and I, that may be normal, but Vernon would probably start scratching his rear end or something, you know. Am I here? You know, this, Mr. Henry, I am not going to have to put up with this. All right?
All right, well, what do you mean scratch? Okay, so let's forget about that. So you ordered nuts, heavy on the nuts.
I ordered heavy on the nuts, yeah. No, but Mr. Henry is saying, wasn't the order, because I saw written on the sheet, nuts, and more nuts. It was heavy on the nuts, that's what I meant.
Well, then why didn't you say that?
Because I wanted to see his reaction, and as soon as he looked down and he read the order, he took the spoon out of the ice cream pit or the bin or whatever they use, some big thing that looks like a toilet, and he threw the spoon.
Wait, we don't keep ice cream in a toilet, sir.
Oh, okay, well, whatever you say. And he threw the spoon, and it hit the back of the head of the night manager there. And he didn't know it was there, but the guy had a spoon with ice cream stuck to the back of his head, and he's walking around.
All right, let's...
Well, that's the end of the hour.
I know it is the end of the hour, and that's just going to be the end of the hour. Thank you very much, Vernon Dozier and Harvey Wireman, as they can debate this off the air if they want to. I don't know what will become of this, but I'm certainly not going to continue to listen to this, especially this stuff about Mr. Dozier throwing the ice cream spoon. It sticks to the back of the head of the guy. I don't know. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. We'll be back with more here, more news, more guests, more of everything in just a few minutes.
The nuts stuck to the back of his head is what I'm saying.